It was more than a deluge of bugs. It was a pour of species. It was more than that. It was a pour on a want. Entomologists' Record, 1870, that, in this summer of 1869, in England, there had been such an insect famine that swallows had starved to death. 23. Melbourne Age, January 21, 1869. There was a carter. He was driving a five-horse truck along the bed of a dry creek. Down the gully shot a watery fist that was knuckled with boulders. A dead man, a truck, and five horses were punched into trees. New Orleans Daily Picayune, August 6, 1893. A woman in a carriage, crossing a dried-up stream, in Rawlings County, Kansas. It was a quiet, summery scene. There was a rush of water. The carriage crumbled. There was a spill of crumbs that were a woman's hat and the heads of horses. Philadelphia Public Ledger, September 16, 1893. People asleep, in the town of Villacanes, Toledo, Spain. The town was raided by trees. Trees smashed through the walls of houses. People in bed were grabbed by roots. A deluge had fallen into a forest. Bright, clear day, near Pittsburgh, PA. From the sky swooped a wrath that incited a river. It was one bulk of water, 2 miles away, no rain fell, New Orleans Daily Picayune, July 11, 1893. A raging river jeered against former confinements. Some of its jibes were freight cars. It scoffed with bridges. Having made a high water mark of rebellion, it subsided into a petulance of jostling rowboats. Monistically, I have to accept that no line of demarcation can be drawn between emotions of minds and motions of rivers. These sudden, astonishing leaks from the heavens are not understood. Meteorologists study them meteorologically. This seems logical, and is therefore under suspicion. This is the fallacy of all the sciences. Scientists are scientific. They are inorganically scientific. Someday there may be organic science, or the interpretation of all phenomenal things in terms of an organism that comprises all. If our existence is an organism, in which all phenomena are continuous, dreams cannot be utterly different, in the view of continuity, from occurrences that are said to be real. Sometimes, in a nightmare, a kitten turns into a dragon. Louth, Lincolnshire, England, May 29, 1920. The River Lud, which is only a brook, and is known as Tennyson's Brook, was babbling, or maybe it was purling. Out of its play, this little thing humped itself 20 feet high. A ferocious transformation of a brook sprang upon the houses of Louth, and mangled 50 of them. Later in the day, between banks upon which were piled the remains of houses, in which were lying 22 bodies, and from which hundreds of the inhabitants had been driven homeless, the little brook was babbling, or purling. In scientific publications, early in the year 1880, an event was told of, in the usual, scientific way, that is, as if it were a thing in itself. It was said that a waterspout had burst upon the island of St. Kitts, BWI. A bulk of water had struck this island, splitting it into cracks, carrying away houses and people, drowning 250 of the inhabitants. A paw of water, clawed with chasms, had grabbed these people. In accordance with our general treatments, we think that there are waterspouts and cloudbursts, but that the waterspout and cloudburst conveniences arise, when nothing else can, or, rather, should, be thought of, and as labels are stuck on events that cannot be so classified except as a matter of scientific decorum and laziness. Some of the sleek, plump sciences are models of good behavior and inactivity, because, with little else to do, they sit all day on the backs of patient fishmongers. As a monist, I think that there is something meteorological about us. Out of the libraries will come wraths of data, and we, too, shall jeer against former confinements. Our jibes will be events, and we shall scoff with catastrophes. The waterspout at St. Kitts, as if it were a single thing, unrelated to anything else. The West Indian, February 3, 1880 that, while the bulk that was called a waterspout was overwhelming St. Kitts, water was falling upon the island of Grenada, as it had never rained before, in the history of the island. Grenada is 300 miles from St. Kitts. I take data of another occurrence, from the Dominican, and the People, published at Roseau, Dominica, BWI. About 11 o'clock, morning of January 4, the town of Roseau was bumped by midnight. People in the streets were attacked by darkness. People in houses heard the smash of their window panes. Night fell so heavily that it broke roofs. It was a daytime night of falling mud. With the mud came a deluge. The river Roseau rose, and there was a conflict. The river, armed with the detachables of an island, held up shields of mules, and pierced the savage darkness with spears of goats. Long lines of these things it flung through the black streets of Roseau. In the Boiling Lakes district of Dominica, there had been an eruption of mud, at the time of the deluge, which was like the fall of water upon St. Kitts, 8 days later. There had, in recorded time, never been an eruption here before. 3 months before, there had been, in another part of the West Indies, a catastrophe like that of St. Kitts. Upon October 10, 1879, a deluge fell upon the island of Jamaica, and drowned 100 of the inhabitants, London Times, November 8, 1879. A flood that slid out from this island was surfaced with jungles, tangles of mahogany logs, trees, and bushes, brambled with the horns of goats and cattle, hung with the moss of the fleece of sheep. Incoming vessels plowed furrows, as if in a passing cultivation of one of the rankest luxuriances that ever vegetated upon an ocean. Passengers looked at tangles of trees and bodies, as if at picture puzzles. In foliage, they saw faces. 4 months, there had been, in the provinces of Murcia and Alicante, Spain, a drought so severe that inhabitants had been driven into emigration to Algeria. Whether we think of this drought and the prayers of the people as having relation or not, there came a downpour that was as intense as the necessities. See London Times, October 20, 1879. Upon October 14, floods poured upon these parched provinces. Perhaps it was response to the prayers of the people. 5 villages were destroyed. 1,500 persons perished. Virtually in the same zone with Spain and the West Indies, U.S. Columbia, a deluge fell, in December. The river Cauca rose beyond all former high water marks, so suddenly that people were trapped in their houses. This was upon December 19. The next day, the earth started quaking in Salvador, near Lake Ilopanga. This lake was the crater of what was supposed to be an extinct volcano. I take data from the Panama Daily Star and Herald, February 10, 1880. Upon the 31st of December, 4 days before occurrences in the island of Dominica, the earth quaked in Salvador, and from the middle of Lake Ilopanga emerged a rocky formation. Water fell from the sky, in bulks that gouged gullies. Gullies writhed in the quaking ground. The inhabitants who cried to the heavens prayed to epilepsy. Mud was falling upon the convulsions. A volcanic island was rising in Lake Ilopanga, displacing the water, in streams that writhed from it violently. Rise of a form that filled the lake, it shook out black torrents, head of a gorgon, shaggy with snakes. Beginning upon October 10, and continuing until the occurrence at St. Kitts, deluge after deluge came down to one zone around this earth, or a flight of lakes was cast from a constellational reservoir, which was revolving and discharging around a zone of this earth. In the minds of most of us, this could not be. We have been taught to look up at the revolving stars, and to see and to think that they do not revolve. Our data are of the slaughters of people, who, by fishmongerish explanations, have been held back from an understanding of an irrigational system, of their emotions, and of the elementary emotions of lands. There's a hope in a mind, and it turns to despair, or there's a fertile region in the materials of a South American country and an unsuspected volcano chars it to a woe of leafless trees, plains and the promise of crops that are shining in sunlight. Plains crack into disappointments, into which fall expectations. An island appears in the ocean, and after a while young palms feel upward. There's a convulsive relapse, and subliminal filth, from the bottom of the ocean, plasters the little aspirations. Quaking lands have clasped their fields, and have wrung their forests. Each catastrophe has been explained by the metaphysical scientists, as a thing in itself. Scientists are contractions of metaphysicians, in their local searches for completeness, and in their statements that, except for infinitesimal errors, plus or minus, completenesses have been found. I can accept that there may be superphenomenal completeness, but not that there can be phenomenal completenesses. It may be that the widespread thought that there is God, or allness, is only an extension of the deceiving process by which to an explanation of a swarm of ladybirds, or to a fall of water at St. Kitts, is given a guise of completeness, or it may be the other way around, or that there is a wholeness, perhaps one of countless wholenesses, in the cosmos, and that attempting completenesses and attempting concepts of completenesses are localizing consciousness of an all-inclusive state, or being so far as its own phenomena are concerned that is complete. There have been showers of ponds. From blue skies there have been shafts of water, golden in sunshine. Reflections from stars have fluted sudden, dark, watery columns. There have been violent temples of water, colonnades of shafts, revealed against darkness by lightning, foaming facades as white as marble. Nights have been caves, roofed with vast, fluent stalactites.